just to sort of give the context of what we're doing this morning, this is the last in a little mini three series where we're looking at some of the values of Woody, but we're looking at them sort of in action. So last spring we spent a good long time as a church kind of working out what our values are and then preaching through those so that, you know, we know who we are. There's stuff that's obviously common to all churches, but there's stuff that makes churches have their own little flavour, really. And so we were kind of just working on what that looks like for us. But we wanted to do then at this time of year kind of examples, really, of how people in Woody do actually live out those values. It's not just something on paper that goes on the website and, you know, that's that. This is, you know, actually who we are. So if I have the next one, Judy, the one that we're looking at this morning then is sharing the gospel and making disciples. So this is the actual value that's written into our document. And it says, Jesus commands us to make disciples. We are committed to sharing the good news of Jesus with those around us and to encouraging those that respond to grow in their understanding and personal faith journey and to be baptized. So that is our kind of statement about where, you know, where we're at in terms of sharing the gospel and making disciples. In a little while, I'm going to invite Denise up to talk with us about how she lives this out in her life. But first of all, just to kind of look at the Bible and what the Bible has to say about this. So if we can go to the next one. Now, apologies, I know this is too small. I only realised this morning. So you'll have to listen rather than read. But if you've got your Bible and you want to turn to it, or if you've got it on your phone, then we're looking at Matthew 28, verse 16 to 20. Okay, so it's the Great Commission bit, basically. All right. So it says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. So this is after he's been resurrected. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So this is his last instruction, if you like. So obviously it's very, very important. It's, you know, Jesus's kind of mission for us to live out and to carry on. And the active verb here is the make disciples bit. Okay, so in the whatever language it was written, Rob, what language was Greek? Thank you. In the Greek, the baptizing and teaching and the going are all the kind of passive, but the, you know, the active one is make disciples. So we must make disciples, and we do this by going and baptizing and teaching people to follow Jesus. So it's absolutely key to the growth of the church. That was his plan. That's the way. That's the plan for how the church was going to grow. Was that we did the going and the baptizing and the teaching. So we can't expect the church to grow if we don't make disciples. This was his instruction. So I think it's key here to notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say go and save the world. We are not the saviors. He is the savior. He saves the world. And it's only him who can open people's eyes. It's his spirit that opens people's eyes. But it's a shared responsibility, and we have responsibility to do our bit, which is to baptize people and teach people to follow him. So we have stuff that we need to do alongside him. So it's this beautiful kind of shared partnership going on, which isn't about heavy guilt on us that, you know, it's all on our heads, thank goodness. but it is at the same time, it's also not, you know, you're irrelevant and I will just build the church. He's given us this gift of working with him. So another verse I think is really key for this is 1 Peter 3, verse 15. So I'll read this out. It says, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect." So I love the letters are really practical, aren't they? And so I think this adds a kind of practical layer to the Great Commission, that we must be prepared to give an answer for our faith. We can't. How do we teach people or baptize or make disciples if we can't actually give answers when people say, "Well, why do you behave like that?" or "Why do you think that?" We have to be prepared to give an answer, and we have to do it gently and with respect. So these are the biblical commands that kind of underpin the value that Woody has of sharing the gospel and of making disciples. So I'm going to introduce Denise Davis. So we can have the next slide, which just got her name on. I toyed with putting a big picture up of you, but then I thought, you know, we've got you right here. So why don't you, we don't need to have a picture. We've got the real thing. So my dear friend Denise, we have worked on Alpha together over the years, and so I've seen her sharing the gospel a lot. And so I wanted her to come and input into this. So we've got questions. We're going to do like interview style, try and keep ourselves on time track, aren't we? and see how we go. So first question, can you give us your testimony in 2 minutes?
No. stopwatch is at the ready. Of course I can. Yeah. So I'm Denise. I was born and raised in Catholic Ireland. And from a faith point of view, the God I knew then as a child was very real, but it was a formal and distant relationship with nuns and priests and set prayers to kind of pave the way. God's love for me was definitely something I believed in, but it wasn't tangible. And I also thought, because he was far away, I thought that the number of people that he had to love personally and deeply, etc., kind of diluted what was available to me as an individual. So that was, I know that was a cop-out, but it suited me at the time. It was easy to stay at a superficial level when your church is much more about culture and you're part of the crowd. But there was a watershed moment where that thing about him, his love for me being very diluted, was challenged. And that was in my teens when we had a sort of a group that were just exploring faith together. And one of the leaders in the group, you know, heard what I was saying and gave me this article from The Lancet, which was a medical account of the crucifixion. And that did, I remember, you know, a really convicted moment when I read what was suffered by anyone being crucified, but what Jesus suffered as an innocent man on my behalf. So that was a moment. And then I came to Cardiff to study physiotherapy when I was 18. And my sister moved to the UK at the same time. She was going through a faith journey more obviously than me. And I was watching the transformation that was happening in her. And then, quite by coincidence, not, there seemed to be a handful of people who were on my radar who had a personal faith. And I had what I call Catholic supremacy, where I was really, really very hard towards it. I was so irritated that they thought they were so much more Christian than other people. But their gentleness was breaking me down on the inside. So anyhow, roll forward. After this handful of people and my sister and the people I met through her were just gently witnessing to me, really, I then came here to Woody on the recommendation of a friend who was a new Christian, because I knew that I wanted to know more about what was going on. Something had challenged me on the inside, although it wouldn't have been obvious on the outside. And I came to Woody, and there was an evening in the old church, having come for, you know, a lot of weeks and stuff, where I just, you know, worship music was doing a lot to change me as well. And there was an evening where I just knew I wanted to give my life to Jesus, and that was many years ago when I was 21. And it's never been the same since. Something fundamentally changed. A transaction happened that changed me to be a follower.
So why did you then settle at Woody? Because you've been here ever since?
Yeah, well, I guess in that time I felt Woody was a safe place to explore my faith and to do my seeking. You know, I didn't do an extensive search of other options. By now, there's probably a church comparison website where you put in all your tick boxes and then they tell you where you should go and it'll be in Alabama or something. But anyhow, so I didn't do that. I just came here and that was simple enough for me. Welcoming, there was a welcome, there was an authenticity, there was a, you know, what was the biggest culture shock for me, and again, my Catholic supremacy was having trouble with this initially, was that in the Catholic Church, the kind of, and I'm saying this, I love the Catholic Church, there's, you know, there's a lot, they did me a lot of good and very little harm, but the fact is they're very interested in what you can offer from the beginning when you come through the door. And so I have a skill set, and I was, you know, that they were all fully used, play the guitar, blah, 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 blah. But here, it kind of took me off guard that nobody asked me what was I going to do for them the very next minute. And that sort of, that disarmed me a bit, because I thought they actually seemed to be interested in me just being here for myself, which was a challenge. And yeah, so I've been here ever since, until God says differently.
So how do you spend most of your time these days, just so we can know a bit more about you?
I haven't got much spare time. In my life, I have one horse, two dogs, three jobs, and four children. That's in reverse order of importance. So, my jobs are, I'm a physiotherapist, and so I work in the NHS, and that takes up a certain amount of my time. I love animals, as you can tell, with the one horse and the two dogs. I love children too, but the animals are relevant to the next job. The next job is I'm a veterinary physio, so that's a self-employed occupation, and I do that, so I treat little lame dogs and the like, and that's that. And then there's a little bit of other kind of self-employed work as well. So that's that. The children take up a fair amount of time as well. I do a few things here at Woody, shameless plug, starting the Freedom in Christ course for the grown-ups tomorrow, and if people are interested, they can come and talk to me about that. I do a little bit with Annabelle on Little Acorns, and and then I find some time to sleep and stuff like that.
And do Airbnb and breed puppies and
other
things.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. So, thinking about this value then, can you tell us some of your experience of missional activities, things like Alpha and Mission to Wales and that kind of thing?
So I was involved in those two things. I was involved in running Alpha. And Alpha and Mission to Wales are like two ends of this different spectrum. Alpha is about getting a small group together, you know, sharing food, getting to know each other, going in, potentially into a relationship-based witness, etc. Whereas Mission to Wales was the absolute opposite, where you gathered in a church, you worshipped, you got trained, and you went out in the streets and spoke to people that you'd never seen before, but who God led you to. And I found both of those kind of exercises that were, you know, really challenging, and you know, I found them really interesting because kind of like, because it's not what you expect. You expect naturally that the people who you meet on the street might really be quite hostile to you, and you have, well, I have anyhow, lots of preconceived ideas. But that wasn't really the case. A lot of people were very open. So that was one experience, and I found it just fascinating. There were some people who came to faith there and then on the pavement. And then with Alpha, you know, the experience was you went deeper into relationship with people. You got to know much more about their lives and their worries and etc. And and you got to share within that. So I suppose you have another question, I know.
Okay, well, what were the high? Can you pick out a high of either of those and a low?
I think the highs are when somebody, you know, makes a commitment and you get to, you know, you get to know that they have chosen to be a follower of Jesus and they're in the kingdom. And that did happen on the Mission to Wales, you know, just on Albany Road, a lady, and, you know, et cetera. So that was a real high. Coming together as a group of people to go out on those trips, you know, the small groups, and that was amazing. And, you know, everyone was starting from a certain level of faith and everyone grew as a result of the encouragement. So that's a high. Similar in Alpha, you know, when we would hear what the session or the things we'd shared meant to the people in the weeks to follow, and we would encourage each other as a team with, you know, to pray on for stuff. So those were highs, being able to support people in prayer, having people actually be impacted. And a low, I think that, you know, the I'm not here to say that we had lots of, road to Damascus style conversions and, and a hit rate of whatever it might be. I believe, I think the kind of the other stuff that I've learned about this tough world we live in, I suppose, is that there is an enemy, and it's a difficult world, or the mindset that this world, the individualistic, a kind of cynical mindset that this world is pervaded with, is a difficult thing to come against, and we can only come against it in God's strength and in the knowledge of the authority we have. And even though I know that, it sometimes slips away, and I think I'm doing it in my own strength. So some of the lows are, I suppose, just the fact that it's a tough thing to bring good news and truth in this culture that we live in. So that's kind of, it's a reality check rather than a low.
Yeah, the reason I ask that is because we want to be real, don't we? And, we are called and told to go and, be willing to share our faith. And Denise does that, but it's not all, victory and everyone's just falling down in worship of God immediately and so on. There is hard disappointment when people that you love and care for, God doesn't seem to open eyes, and you've got this thing that you feel is just the most amazing thing to share, and perhaps if people don't feel it that way, then that's hard, and harder than if you hadn't put yourself out there in the first place. So it's just being real about that, really. But it doesn't change the fact that Jesus told us to do it still. So have we got something extra for that one, or have we kind of done that one? Yeah, cool. Okay, so a time when you've had the opportunity to share your faith.
There are lots of times where I've had an opportunity to share my faith in a kind of a walking alongside people way. So I am a people person, and I know that because I appear anyhow to be kind of practical and a capable person, I'm on the radar for a lot of people when they have trouble. The physical stuff is obvious, so when they twinge something here, it's always, whether it's a proper text for actual advice or just sidling up to me saying, when I was running the other day or whatever. So in terms of giving people physiotherapy advice for free, I've always been up there. But emotional and spiritual advice, again, not because I'm any superstar in this area, but I am approachable and chatty, so I often come onto people's radar for that. And that is all very well. And oftentimes the request or the issue seems to be well within my human gift. But that's not what God is interested in. It's when people have shared with me stuff that is way beyond what I have any experience to advise them on. That's when I feel that I have been able to share my faith the most, because what do you do when you have, a friend who's coming to you brokenhearted because she knows her husband's having an affair, or her children have attempted suicide, or she's had a cancer diagnosis, or she's being bullied out of her workplace. Now, that's not all the same friend, I have to say. But those are all real situations, which I know I've been the first or the only person that various friends have confided in. Now, I have no resources, personally, to bail anyone out of those situations. So in that situation, my spirit, jars and tells me that I need to bring those before God. And whether the person is a Christian or not, that is the first thing I will do there and then in their presence, and just say, I'm brokenhearted to hear that. And if you will let me, I would love to pray, because I don't have the answers, but I know a God who does. And in that situation, I have always seen that he is the way maker. He is the miracle maker, the promise keeper, and the light in the darkness.
Fab. So in terms of any tips then for sharing your faith, I mean, you've given us one already, that it's okay to just say to someone, can I pray with you? So any more tips?
I think be honest and be yourself, because all the other positions have been taken. Listen, no, I definitely wasn't very good at this to begin with, but listen and wait long enough. Listen for more beats than you usually do to find out where they really are, because it's too easy to jump in and assume that they're either in front or behind of where they really are. So, You have to listen in a way that gets people talking and then talk in a way that gets people listening, because otherwise there's just a mismatch from the beginning. And what you don't know is they'll walk away and go, oh, right, that didn't really itch where I was scratching. And stay humble, give God the glory, because he owns it and you don't.
Okay, and then moving on a little bit to discipling. Have you ever been involved in discipling someone? So actually, I should maybe clarify what I mean by that first. So when we talk about discipling in Woody, what we're talking about really is someone either older or further on in their faith, coming alongside someone who's either younger in age or younger in their faith, if that makes sense, and just walking alongside and sharing. And, you know, it could involve, well, it should most likely involve prayer and maybe some Bible study and sharing and that kind of thing. So it's that kind of, it's almost like a kind of a bit like a parental relationship, but I hesitate to use that word because you can have young people discipling young people. But it's that sense of someone sowing into someone who's just maybe one step behind them or 10 steps behind them, kind of on this journey. So have you ever been involved in discipling?
I think until the Freedom in Christ course, any discipling that I was involved in was quite informal. It was probably more akin to, you know, kind of friendship and mentoring and very much issue-led, I suppose. So if someone chose to contact me or was connected up with me because they were in, you know, a situation. But the Freedom in Christ kind of material is about, challenging people to pick up the freedom that is theirs in Christ and take steps towards it. And within that, there's a ministry thing where, you know, I very much was helping people to be led through. So it's a sort of a, if I look back, I probably could relabel some of the things that have happened where I happened to be a bit more along the road than a friend who came to me with an issue. But I, yeah, definitely the current way going forward is more about having almost a syllabus where you're working with people. So that's where I'm at, I think.
And how has it benefited them and you?
We'd have to ask them for them, I suppose. But me definitely. You know, it's a humbling thing to just be involved in something where you're you have to kind of. You have to get back into the word and not get confused by what the person thinks about this and what you think about this, but rather what does God think about it, and start there and then, you know, kind of claim those promises, even if they seem bonkers and way out of kind of reality with what's happening, but taking that as the truth. So I guess that for me, you know, reorientating the compass, I suppose, is what's good about that.
Thank you. Okay, let me think how I'm going to do this. Let's just, because we've mentioned Freedom in Christ a lot, I think we ought to do a proper plug for that in case people are wondering what that's all about. So, and then I'll let you sit down.
That's fine. There's an author called Neil Anderson who wrote books that, you know, he's an American guy, and he wrote books that got converted into a course called the Freedom in Christ course. And his books are called, Bondage Breaker and Victory Over the Darkness. So he's a guy who is hot on the issue of spiritual warfare and taken up the truths that are in the Bible and the truth of what Jesus did on the cross and planting your flag and moving into freedom instead of staying in a situation where you think, well, yeah, I do know he loves me, but, you know, there's this, the conflicts that, so that's the background. The course is a written up course. It's a very good level of resource, and we've run it once in this church, and we're going to run it again starting tomorrow. It's a course that has 10 sessions in it. They're going to run on Monday night starting tomorrow and running forward. On the sessions, there's a DVD and all the things you'd expect, a book, and you're working through kind of your identity in Christ, the reality of this world, the battle for your mind and the reality of the world and the culture, etc. And that's the kind of the syllabus, if you like. And every week there'll be, you know, bits of time where people take a little bit of time out in a group and discuss things as happens on lots of courses. The thing about this material in course that's different is that there's a ministry component, which is called the steps. And in that, that's a one on two, I suppose. So one participant and two supporters, where you actually get to kind of, it's a bit like, I dare say it, but it's a bit like the exam for the course. It's not like the exam for the course, but it's where you apply the material. You have a chance to, on your own, to just say, you know, when I was reading about this identity thing, I think one of the things I don't believe is X, Y, or Z. So the ministry component is a structured thing as well, but that's the way that you know if, you know, when the rubber hits the road for you. It's not an observed course where you just rocked up to the sessions and you get a certificate at the end. That is, that's where it goes. So you could put Freedom in Christ into YouTube and read people who are much more eloquent than me at saying what it's about. But there we go. So we have probably got still some spaces on the course. If you don't catch it this way around, talk to me. You know, we don't know how long it'll be before we run it again, but I'm open for discussions and, anymore? There's no charge. You'll get tea and coffee. It's at my house. I've got 13 puppies in the utility room. We were all gorgeous. They're only 5 days old. What's not to like?
Thank you very much. We'll let you sit down. Thanks, Denise. Okay, can I have the next slide, Jude? So on the values document, we broke down personal responsibilities and leadership ones. And so I thought it'd just be good to look back at that. And so what Denise has shown is that she does participate in missional activities. We mentioned Mission to Wales, and I didn't say much about that. But every year, organised by New Wine Cymru, which is loads and loads of churches all over Wales, they organise a mission where, as she said, people go out on the street and talk to people and just ask them if they know where they're going if they were to die that night. It's quite blunt. And there's some amazing stats. I mean, thousands and thousands of people have prayed a prayer of commitment through that. And that comes round every year now. We've done it 2 years. Have we, Gerwyn, or three? Three. I presume there's plans again for next year, isn't there? So look out for that, okay? Taking opportunities to share your faith with others around you. And I think what Denise kind of brought out was that often it's when people are struggling that that there's, you know, a need to come alongside people. So that can be one way. Or it could be just that you've said something about the way you live your life or church or something and someone just asks you a question. Howard was saying this week that someone at his work just asked him, what was it again? I've forgotten. But it was just, oh, yeah, most Christians creationists. Just a kind of a theological wonderment. So, you know, it can be all different ways, isn't it? But it's about being prepared to not just run away and hide if someone asks you something, but to actually engage, and then participating as a discipler or a mentor. It's a similar concept, mentoring and discipling. I'm not going to go into that, the difference in detail, but to sort of be involved in that program. I'll say a bit more about that in a minute. But then the next slide is what we as the leadership promise to you to do, really. So provide ways to develop skills and confidence in sharing the gospel message and personal faith stories. So we do that, the first bit through training. And so the Mission to Wales outreach, it always starts with a little bit of training before you go out on the street, so you're not just chucked in. But we're also really hoping this coming year, 2020, to engage in some more in-depth training about being confident in sharing your faith and things. So look out for that. We also encourage testimony. And just to give you a heads up now, I'm going to give you a space in a minute. If you have any stories of when you've shared your faith or stories of when you've been discipled or you've discipled someone that you think are encouraging that you'd like to share. So there's that. And then providing opportunities to disciple others with appropriate equipping. So the discipleship kind of program, I'll say, that makes it sound a bit grander than it is. But what we've been trying to do in Woody over the last couple of years is to establish a culture of discipling. So that sense of a pair, you know, someone coming alongside someone else and walking with them. And so we've pulled together some resources that people can access, and some a little bit of guidance as well about what it looks like. And particularly because of the student work changing the way it looks, then we've now got quite a lot of people in this, because we've kind of suggested strongly to all the students that they be part of this, and they, being amazing, have all stepped up. We've got all kinds of people being discipled by all kinds of other people in the church. And it's not just student related, though. We've got other people who are kind of coupled up. So I'm the kind of matchmaker for that, if you like. So if that's something that interests you, and you think that either you would like someone kind of older or ahead of you to, you know, invest in you in that way and to walk alongside you, then come and tell me. And similarly, if you're someone who thinks you'd like to do that for someone else, and you don't have to be old to do it, you can be, I mean, looking around at some of my younger people who are doing it, it's only about being one step ahead, that's all. So if you feel like you want to input in that way. And also, our youth are in need of mentors, disciples. So if you feel like you're the youngest here in this room now, there are still people younger than you in Woody who needs discipling. So I'm your woman for all of that. So come and talk to me if you're interested in that.